Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Evening. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. on this Monday, which is May the 28th, 2018, which also happens to be Decoration Day, or as most people know it, Memorial Day. For those that were expecting Tando Radio Show, Dave is not on air tonight. He had family visiting from out of town and he has to take them to the airport, but have no fear, I'm here to sit in and give you a live broadcast. Coming up later, there will be a broadcast of Melanated Roots that will come on at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. But I'm sitting in today. I'm doing an episode of BTR News Live for you on this Memorial Day, as we not only take a look at Memorial Day, but what does it mean? What does it mean? Today's title of the program, or our topic, is Memorial Day, U.S. War and Propaganda, because Memorial Day has really become about military propaganda if we're talking about the United States government. As always, you have the CEO of USA Inc., who is also the commander and chief of U.S. Armed Forces. They always go to a military base and give a little speech about Memorial Day. But we're really going to talk about what we should be reflecting on. With that said, you know, I was just thinking, why do people say Happy Memorial Day? If you know the true meaning of Memorial Day, it's nothing to be happy about. It's supposed to be a somber day of remembrance of those who have given their lives in service to the United States military. Notice I did not say in service to liberty and freedom and justice for all. I did not say, you know, they died for us, the people, we the people. No, most of the wars that the United States have engaged in were unjust wars. They were, in fact, wars of American imperialism. And if we're talking about the wars here domestically, and yes, there have been plenty of wars fought on this soil going back to the American Revolutionary War, but even before, but we're going to start with the American Revolutionary War. There have been plenty of wars fought. not just against the British, but against the native people of this land. There's probably the United States military has engaged in more wars against the native people by just looking at the very long list of U.S. wars. They've engaged in more wars against native people of this land than they have against any other opponent. And so we'll be taking a look at that. And of course, just how it is just another, well, for some people, it's just another military propaganda day used to propagandize you, giving you some fake history or some fake news, and to basically get young people to join the United States military. For those that don't know, I spent 6 years in the U.S. Army. I am a veteran of the Persian Gulf War, or known as the First Gulf War, and it's not something I'm particularly proud of or want anybody to thank me for my service, and because I like to keep it real. As a 20-year-old, I joined the U.S. Army for college money and nothing else, okay? And so I just want to keep it real with you today. Now, before we get into the main topic, I will share with you a couple of news stories, some things that's in the news. You know, that's a particularly important component to Tando Radio Show, and I've kind of adopted that motto instead of just jumping right into the topic, but just letting you know about some of the news that caught my eye for today. But before I get into what's in the news, let me take care of a couple of things first. Please continue to support, or if you've never given any support, please support this network that you listen to on a daily basis. Some of you, you know, not so much on a daily basis, but you consume the media that is put out through the platform. This platform was created and is managed by the Black Talk Media Project, which is a North Carolina-based nonprofit media organization that was set up because of the death of Black radio. We're losing Black terrestrial radio stations, and the ones that we do have, it's not really constructive. Okay, a lot of it shares a lot of the fake mainstream media news that you see on the networks. Same thing with Black radio. I think probably gospel stations are, if it ain't gospel or hip hop, there are not very many talk Black radio stations, just a couple. Okay, so that's why this platform was set up, to fill a void, and then also to provide you with independent voices that will share their opinions and their views and what have you through their networks that they have set up through this platform or through their podcasts. And so, you know, we don't get, as Dave always says during Tando, and he's telling the truth, we don't have corporate backing. We don't get grants from George Soros or the Ford Foundation or any of those foundations out there. And so we are a people-funded network. We are truly grassroots, and we would not exist and we could not exist without people providing donations to the Black Talk Media Project. And you can go to blacktalkradionetwork.com and you'll find links in order for you to make a donation. If you don't want to do it online, you can send us a check or money order to Black Talk Media Project. Make it out to the organization, not to me personally. Make it out to Black Talk Media Project, P.O. Box 65, Mount Holly, North Carolina, and the zip code is 28120. Again, it's Black Talk Media Project. The mailing address is P.O. Box 65. That's Mount Holly, North Carolina, 28120. All right, you can also join us. This is where you'll find many of these news stories linked up that I'm going to share with you for what's in the news. But for the main topic, again, which is Memorial Day, U.S. War and Propaganda, I have a link to a couple of resources for you to look up on that topic if you want to follow along with me, especially when I go over the very, 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 very long list of wars that the United States government, through its military, has engaged in. All right, so let me say that you can join btrcommunity.com. It's a social media platform that was set up for the listeners of this network, as you just heard in the promo preceding me coming on air. That's just another creative way that we try to fund the work that we do, because I don't expect the enemies of black people to fund what we do. So if we're going to have stuff, we got to build it and we got to maintain it. And that includes maintaining it with financial contributions. So you can get a membership for just $24 a year. That breaks down to $2 a month. There is a 30-day trial period for you to test out the network. It's not anything fancy. I'm not going to lie to you. We don't have the resources that Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook Incorporated has. We don't have the live video streaming, although you can post videos and what have you. We just got the very basics. We got a video section, and most of it is just status from the individual members posting their thoughts and sharing their news. So again, that's btrcommunity.com. So before I get into what's in the news, again, let me just tell you why I came on air today. Since Dave wasn't able to do the show, I said, well, let me go ahead and do a live broadcast of BTR News. So this is what I wrote for today. I said, today is Memorial Day in the USA, where most people treat it as just a day off from the job and a chance to do a little traveling, perhaps visiting relatives. While there had been previous unofficial or state level observances where people paid homage to the casualties of the American Revolution, it was not adopted as an official holiday by the U.S. government until after the American Civil War. For Black American people, or African Americans, or Afro Americans, free and recently freed former victims of slavery, on May the 1st, 1865, in Charleston, South Carolina. You know, it's a lot of black history tied to Charleston. But on May the 1st, 1865, in Charleston, South Carolina, there was a parade of 10,000 people to honor 257 dead Union soldiers whose remains they had reburied from a mass grave in a Confederate prison camp. So they went and dug up that mass grave and they gave these soldiers a proper burial. Today, all U.S. casualties of war, and I'm talking about those killed, not just wounded, but today all U.S. casualties of war are remembered and thanked, often disingenuously, for sacrificing their lives, which sadly were killed in wars that had nothing to do with protecting freedom and liberty. That's the propaganda. But died fighting to spread American imperialism and to take the land of Native Americans. Even if they knew or didn't know, that's what they were doing. That's just the fact of the matter. That's what the historical record says. That's not my opinion. That's not something that I'm saying. That's what the historical record says. Not the propaganda, but that's what the true historical record says. And if you would like to chime in on our main topic or make a quick comment about any of the news stories I'm about to get into, you can give us a call at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. That's 505656. Hit ** to unmute yourself. As always, we ask that you watch your background noise. Let me share some news which was posted in btrcommunity.com. The first story that I want to share with you, Roz posted this in BTR community, and I posted it in my thread for today's program. But you have former, quote unquote, felons who are leading the voter restoration movement. And this is an article, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but I think it's Axios.com. It's AXIOS.com. I think that's pronounced Axios.com. And before I read the story, you know, I learned a bit of information last week from our guest, Christopher Scott, who was a 15-year victim of modern-day prison slavery, who was wrongfully convicted, was able to be vindicated and get set free. And I didn't know until that interview on New Abolitionist Radio last week that he was part of a movement to make Texas a state that has the highest payout of reparations to people who were wrongly convicted of crimes that they did not commit. And that's saying something. And again, he was a victim of modern day slavery and human trafficking through the prisons as prescribed by the 13th Amendment, railroaded by a prosecutor who he said that you're not a good prosecutor unless you can convict the innocent. This was a 30 something year prosecutor down there in Dallas, Texas, in Dallas County. And so Mr. Scott and others fought for, I think he said, it's $80,000 that people wrongfully convicted get for every year that they spent on a prison plantation in the United States. And so, you know, it's just great to see these people who are victims of the system come out and then spend their time fighting, not just for themselves, but for us all, really, because we all can become victims of this system. I just can't tell you how many hundreds of people since DNA testing was developed that have been freed from death row by itself. Okay, so this article says formerly incarcerated people across the country are using their past connections with the criminal justice system to lead the national movement to restore voting rights for the disenfranchised. Between the lines, laws stripping voting rights from people with past criminal convictions vary widely from state to state. Some revoke rights permanently. That's because they want to keep you in a permanent status of a slave. You know, because slaves don't have no say. They have no representation. They're taxed, but they don't have representation. So, in fact, it's taxation without representation in some of these states. So, some also require you to file a petition and go through this bureaucracy to get your voting rights restored, as well as other rights. But some will restore your rights as a citizen, a taxpaying citizen, right after you get released. But an estimated 6 million people who were formerly incarcerated nationwide cannot vote, an amount experts say has the potential to change election outcomes in key states with strict felon voting policies. And so I'm gonna leave it there. It has 392 more words. You can read more, but you know, people have their beliefs, and there are people who believe that voting doesn't matter. I'm of the belief that the evidence shows that if it didn't matter to me, why would they bar these people from voting? Especially when you consider the fact that non-white people, primarily black people, are the number one victims of modern day slavery and human trafficking. And they never wanted us to vote. You know, it took black veterans of the American Civil War to keep fighting and pushing in order for black men, unfortunately not black women, but for black men to get that right. But of course, you know, they come up with these laws and these statutes to, okay, oh, if you've been in prison, then you can't vote. when they know who they was targeting. So why would you jump through all them hoops? Why would you spend that kind of money? Why would you spend that kind of time on preventing somebody from engaging in an activity that don't matter? It does matter. And it matters most at the local level. You know, like Christopher Scott was saying last week, most of these district attorneys are elected. Okay? They're elected. So if you live in a county where they're preying on people and unjustly convicting people of victimless crimes that shouldn't even be crimes, then guess what? All of that is happening through one elected office, and that's the district attorney's office. Okay? So I'm of the belief, and yes, there's evidence, and I, you know, was talking about this earlier today with somebody. There is some evidence. Yeah, on Twitter, somebody was saying that people are wrongly believing that people ineligible to vote, all of these people who were either not citizens or felons were voting. And that's how Donald Trump got into office. Well, that's a lie. And that's something Republicans and conservatives have been saying for a very long time. But like I responded to the reporter from the Huffington Post who posted that and said that's undermining people's, you know, faith in the electoral process. And I said, let's not also forget, if we're talking about 2016, how the DNC rigged its primaries across the nation. And that undermines people's faith in the system. But I'm not talking national politics right now. I'm talking about county politics. I'm not even talking state politics. I'm talking about county politics, voting for judges and prosecutors. To me, that's very important. It's very important. All right. Next story. Let me pull it up right quick. Next story. This also came from Ross. Thanks again, Ross. Ross posts a lot of interesting stories, and so he posts more than anybody I see on BTR News Community. So I appreciate, you know, you taking the time, Ross, to share information with the community. This has been in the news a lot recently, and it has to do with the Department of Homeland Security reporting that it can't account for 1,500 migrant children. We're talking about children of immigrants who the system can't account for. They don't know what happened to them. Now, some people have been exaggerating it and saying, oh, this is the U.S. government selling these children to human traffickers, you know, people who engage in child sex and child labor and things of that nature. There's no evidence for that, not that I have seen, and not that anybody who's making that claim has even bothered to share. So, you know, we have to be careful of the fake news, and we have to also be careful that we don't exaggerate things. Just the facts. The facts will suffice. The facts by themselves is atrocious in this case. So, Axios, that's the same website, axios.com. Again, thank you, Ross, for posting this story. It's titled, Your Questions About the U.S. Losing 15,000 Migrant Children Answered. Now, as I was watching different news segments and people talking about this, some of the stuff that I was thinking, this person apparently was thinking too, that what's being lost in this conversation. As I heard, y'all might have seen the video, I think it was on CNN. I saw it on YouTube because I don't watch CNN on the television. But I saw a news clip, and you had Rick Santorum, a former Republican who ran for president. I think he either used to be, I think he was a congressman at one time, not a senator. I want to say congressman, but Rick Santorum was on this panel, and they were talking about it, and Rick Santorum was saying, oh, if you want to blame somebody, blame the parents for bringing them here, for putting them in danger, for bringing them here. And as this person points out, in this particular article, and I'm gonna read the excerpts for you. I was thinking, well, guess what? Their lives were in danger because of all the violence connected to the drug war that the United States pressures countries like Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and other South American countries. They forced them to adhere to U.S. drug policy, which criminalizes cannabis and other recreational drugs that people all over the world use them. Whether you agree with their drug use or not, I feel like ain't none of my business to be telling a grown person what to put in their body or what not to put into their body. Of course, if we care about people, you know, it's nothing wrong with us saying, hey, why you want to smoke meth? Don't you see the pictures of these long-term meth smokers and how they skin get all messed up and then just how they're out of control and end up stealing and stealing stuff to make the drugs or blowing themselves up to cook the meth? And why you want to do that? Don't you know that crack cocaine literally puts holes in your brains? It kills brain cells that you will never get back. Brain cells do not regenerate themselves. As far as I know, they might be working on some stem cell therapy or something to regenerate brain cells. But as it stands right now, you don't get those brain cells back smoking crack. Okay, there's nothing wrong with making that argument. But for you to tell that person, you know what? Since you want to smoke crack, since you want to shoot heroin, since you want to smoke meth, I'm going to throw you in prison. I'm going to throw you in prison where I can make money off of your body being warehoused in the prison, and I can put you to work and not pay people a living wage on the outside who's not in prison. No. If they have determined for themselves that they want to kill brain cells, why should I have to pay for their incarceration? Why should any of us have to pay for their incarceration when we don't even have enough funding for schools and what have you and health care and whatnot? So that's where I'm at on the drug war. But all of that violence you see in Mexico from these Mexican drug cartels, you know, Donald Trump was talking about MS-13, that how violent that gang is. Well, they are empowered. These gangs are enriched and empowered by U.S. drug war policy. Why not just legalize and regulate it, you know? But no, that's not it. That's not it. Okay, what they want to do is use the drug war as a means for acquiring domestic slaves in the prison plantation. So let me read this article because I'm starting to get up on my soapbox. But the article says, last month, a top Health and Human Services Department official testified that almost 1,500 migrant children are unaccounted for after being placed with sponsors by the department. Why it matters? This comes as the administration is heightening crackdown on migrants crossing the border, including the separation of families. Reports about the unaccounted minors have also raised concerns that they could be in the hands of human traffickers or being used as laborers by people who post as relatives. How we got here, and I'm going to read this entire article. It's very short, so you have all the information. How we got here, Acting Assistant Secretary of Department of Health and Human Services. I'm sorry, I said Homeland Security. It's Health and Human Services. Administration for Children and Families, Stephen Wagner, last month, and this came out last month, and it's only news now. Last month told the Senate Homeland Security Subcommittee that the agency learned of 1,475 missing kids after calling to check in with their sponsors. Who are these children? Now, I'm in full agreement with what this person wrote. Who is this person? Corey Atkinson is on point, okay, with this short but very informative article. How we got here? Excuse me, who are these children? They had crossed the southern border on their own, fleeing from gang violence and other social ills. there were 4,314 unaccompanied minors who crossed the border just last month, and 26,000 since October. So this was actually something that we were reporting on during the Obama administration. And on New Abolitionist Radio, we tracked some of this to a private prison company spreading rumors in Mexico that the Obama administration was going to give amnesty. So many people came here. But the most important thing is, I was asking, because a lot of them were unaccompanied children, you know, by themselves without an adult. I said, now what would make a parent, a mother or a father, send their children here by themselves? They must have really been under some duress or some horrible circumstances to do that. Who would do that? What parent in their right mind would do that? Well, it was cause of all that violence, because of U.S. drug war policy. I mean, I remember the Organization for American, it's called OAS. It's like a conference of Central, South American, and North American countries. And I remember Barack Obama attended it one year. And I reported this. I wrote an article about it. And many of those countries were expressing that they wanted to legalize drugs because it was fueling the violence. Plus, they're looking at drugs, particularly cannabis, being legalized in the United States, and all the tax revenue that was being generated, and the cartels down there just have too much power. So they were like, we want to legalize, regulate, and tax drugs. Barack Obama told them, no, if you do that, we cutting off your U.S. welfare check that we give you every month. All that money we give you to fight the drug war, all that military equipment and advisors we send down there to help you fight the drug war, we're gonna pull all of that. We're gonna take away your butter biscuits. And unfortunately, many of them, I would say basically all of them, I think I can't remember what country years ago legalized drugs and the violence fail. I can't remember right now. But, you know, that's what's driving all the violence. Just like, you know, during Prohibition here in the United States, you saw the rise of, what was his name? It was just on the tip of my tongue, Al Capone, the Chicago mobster. And not just him, but other mobsters, you know, it was big in New York, a big mob scene and all of that, cause of Prohibition. And we saw a lot of violence between these gangs and innocent people getting caught in the crossfire during American prohibition of alcohol. Same thing. Now, it goes on to say who are the sponsors. They're usually parents or family members residing in the U.S. who should also undergo background checks. DHS told the Washington Post that about 85% of sponsors who receive custody of the minors are parents or close family members. So most of them, when they send these children unaccompanied, they got relatives here in the United States already. So the very bulk of them just wasn't putting their children on a train or giving them to coyotes or whatnot to just, you know, bring them here. You know, and that makes sense that they will have family here already. So it says what the administration is saying. And this is, well, let me tell you what Donald Trump said, and he's lying. He said, if you want to change this policy of these children, because this is new policy, actually, but again, they have separated children in the past. Let's not ignore that. But Donald Trump was lying when he said that, oh, this is tell Democrats to change the law. There is no law that says that they must separate these children who do come here with their parents, okay? Again, most of the children that's missing are unaccompanied, but they are the Trump administration, the DOJ, Justice Department, run by Jeff Beauregard Sessions, he announced that policy that they were going to separate these children from their families. Whereas before, and I'm not saying it was a good thing, it was only a good thing because they were still allowed to be with their parents. But I remember, again, through New Abolitionist Radio, which airs on this network every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, we were reporting how the GEO Group, it was either the GEO Group or the Correction Corporation of America, which is now known as Core Civic, they changed their name, or either both of them, they had labor camps where they put entire families, and while they put the parents to work, they were sending the children to school. Now, of course, that's better than separating them, but still, it's modern day slavery and human trafficking via the 13th Amendment, which when you apply it to immigrants who have not committed a criminal violation, that's illegal. The 13th Amendment doesn't even authorize their enslavement, all right, by these private prison companies. So anyway, what the administration is saying, the HHS official said it's not the agency's legal responsibility to account for the children once released from its Office of Refugee Resettlement, per the Post. They also said sponsors might have intentionally declined to respond to inquiries. And I can see like, oh, you probably want to send these children back to Mexico. No, we're not going to allow our family member to be sent back to those horrific conditions created by U.S. drug war policy in those countries. I can see some people getting missing and not, you know, checking in or responding to their inquiries, but it is the responsibility of HHS to account for these children, okay? They're still under your jurisdiction. They're still undergoing hearings of whether or not they'll be granted amnesty or political asylum. So yes, it's absolutely your responsibility, but y'all know how government works. People that don't want to be held accountable just want to pass the buck. All right, so that's that story. Let me see. I got a couple of more stories. Again, I will get to the main topic no later than the top of the hour. Again, if you would like to comment, make a quick comment on the stories I've shared thus far or the next two stories I'm going to share, be real quick about it. Give us a call at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. And I think I hear someone wants to chime in. Ross, thanks again, man. I just got through sharing two other stories you posted to BTR News. I appreciate how you always constantly sharing information with us. What's on your mind today, Ross?
Peace, good brother. Thanks for having me on. Great show. No problem. I like to share a lot, and when I have the time, even if I'm at work and I have time, I do it. So it's not a problem at all. It's actually something that I find to be important. So I think that's what the driving force is. But some of the stuff you said recently about that last article was quite interesting, because about two summers ago, I saw a documentary that was following these law enforcement officials in New Mexico, and they also were dealing with Arizona, where they were trying to figure out where the drug dealers in Juarez, Mexico, were getting these weapons from. That they had like mass graves with like sometimes up to 100 people just dumped in the grave, where they would just execute these people in that town. And it got really, really bad. You know, people heard about it over the years, but ultimately, when they followed, this was on the Discovery Channel, they followed these guys, and as they were going deeper into the investigation, it got to the point where the CIA went in. And one of the CIA agents that was like a lower level agent working with the law enforcement in New Mexico found out that the serial numbers for weapons that they had were being commandeered by the CIA and being sold to these drug dealers for money. And they found that the same weapons were weapons that were found in mass killings and murders of different Mexican officials and journalists and all kinds of stuff. They found that the weapons used matched weapons that were confiscated in the United States, ended up in evidence lockers, and then magically disappeared and somehow ended up in the hands of these drug dealers. And at one point, they said that a high-ranking CIA official was in charge of that operation and that they were to cease and desist their investigation. So he got on the camera and said it blew his mind that, you know, somebody in the CIA that was at a level that, you know, he was just like, it was one of the highest levels of the CIA, basically said, stop what you're doing. We know what's going on. This is supposed to be happening, essentially, is what it is. And he was disheartened with law enforcement after realizing that the government was complicit in this mass violence that was taking place in Juarez and in other parts of Mexico. So not only just the drug policies, it's also the clandestine operations of the CIA. It kind of reminds me of the Iran-Contra scandal. And then the other aspect of this, too, is like when I hear some of our people and other people, too, talk about immigrants this and immigrants that, you know, really you have to look at the fact that the United States and European countries are creating the destabilization in these other countries that are causing these mass migrations to places that these people see as stable, which right. are the European countries, including the United States, that is causing the misery where they're from. So to me, when I hear say, ah, people coming from Africa and people coming from the Caribbean and people coming from, you know, Spanish-speaking South American, Central American, Caribbean countries, you have to really think about it. How are you going to blame these people for leaving a place that is ultra-violent? The cause of that ultra-violence is the United States. And then you're going to say, well, not only are we going to screw up the country you're from, but we're not even going to let you here to you know, make any headway at having some semblance of a decent life. Now, does it mean that the United States government is not using these immigrants to create strife amongst the average citizens in the United States by making them think they're taking jobs and all of this stuff? But I've always said, you know, Neely Fuller said it most correctly. It's not that they're coming here and taking anything from you. It's that the colonialists that are in power are giving those jobs to those people.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we have a skewed view of these immigrants, and we have to be honest with ourselves. The only equitable thing to do to people whose lives you have destroyed intergenerationally is to give them some semblance of a decent life. Now, is it correct that the government is using these people as pawns to create strife at the lowest level possible in U.S. society so that they don't have to be held accountable for those policies that they're making? No, it's not correct. But the bottom line is when we approach these situations, we have to be really, really conscientious about being on the right side of history in regards to what is driving these people to come here
right.
versus staying where you're from. And that's all I wanted to say, man. Great show, and I'll mute my line.
All right. Thanks, Ross. You know, and I've been a party to some of those. Well, I'm not going to say I was a party to the conversation, but I've heard some people who look like me, black people, pontificating on why we should be against these immigrants, and they're taking this from us and taking that from us. But they don't look at the many variables of why these people are coming here. If we look at Europe and we look at the mass migration out of Africa, it's out of the regions that have been destabilized by European and American foreign policy in those areas and supporting terrorism and what have you. And then, you know, as I've already laid out and you laid out, the drug war policy in these different countries. And I'm glad you brought up, you know, the fact that the United States, for anybody that want to be skeptical, I mean, we should always be skeptical, but for those that want to dismiss, you know, that the CIA, the information he shared, that the CIA is walking guns across the border, the CIA is what facilitated the crack cocaine trafficking, you know, to support the Iran-Contra wars, or not Iran-Contra, but the Contras down there in South America. I would point you to the film, even though it's a fictional, but it is a representation of real events, Shoot the Messenger, which is about the very courageous and, I would say, martyred reporter Gary Webb, who exposed this in a series of articles for Mercury News, and then he was suicided, you know, if you know what that means. But as Otis also points, as you were speaking, Ross, I was thinking about the gun walking operations by the Bush administration and the Obama administration, where the ATF were allowing people to make straw man purchases of all of these guns in Arizona and other southern border states with the ideal that, and this is probably just a cover story. The cover story was then when they're used in murders, we can trace the serial numbers to guns we let be sold to drug cartels and connected to the, you know, the big bosses of the cartels. Makes absolutely no logical sense whatsoever. So there is plenty of documentation of the United States government, not just the CIA, but the ATF, and at least two administrations being involved in dumping these guns into Mexico primarily, but I'm sure they're being sold. And if you say the CIA was doing it for money, well, what do they need that money for? For their off-the-books, illegal, clandestine campaigns that they wage. You know, they need money to overthrow countries and what have you. So, yeah, that's all documented. It is for anybody, you know, that is skeptical. Again, skepticism is good, and you should always do your own research. But I have researched it, so I'm just confirming what Brother Ross just said. And as Otis posted in the chat room, during the Fast and Furious investigation, nearly 2,000 firearms were illegally purchased for $1.5 million, according to a Department of Justice IG report. Hundreds of guns were later recovered in the U.S. and Mexico. And Otis says that he lived in Arizona at the time. All right, I got a couple of more stories I want to share with you real quick, and one of them is actually going to tie into our main topic of Memorial Day, U.S. war, and propaganda. But the first one that I want to share with you, I follow this guy. I recommend his YouTube channel. I endorse his YouTube channel. Not saying I agree with everything that he says, but the guy seems to be pretty well-read. And I've yet to catch him pushing some BS, you know, not purposely, but because he hadn't done his research. And his name is Jamal Thomas. Jamal Thomas, you spell it J-A-M-A-R-L, Jamal or Jamal. Sometimes it sounds like he's saying Jamal to me, but it's J-A-M-A-R-L Thomas. If you look him up on YouTube, you'll put that name in the YouTube search engine. You'll find his channel. I'm a subscriber. You should become a subscriber. But I do import some of his videos to disseminate through Black Talk Radio Network's platform from time to time. So these are my words. This is a 26 minute long video, but I'm only going to play about the first few minutes of it. Okay, so you could hear some of the news clips that he's sharing. But Robert Mueller, this is my words. I wrote this in the description under the video, and it's my title. Explicit, and I say explicit because Jamal does cuss in his videos. Not a lot, but he does cuss. Mueller's Russian witch hunt falls apart in court. Prosecutors seeking to delay the trial. Robert Mueller, the FBI special counsel who indicted 13 Russians, is seeing his case fall apart in court, and his team is seeking to delay the trial by claiming they did not properly serve the defendants. And I'm like, Jamal, man, when have you ever heard a prosecutor say, oh, yeah, we want to delay the trial because we didn't properly serve these people? All right. Never mind the fact it is quite hypocritical to ignore the First Amendment's speech protections and political ads allegedly connected to the Russians is protected speech and not a crime. And yes, the First Amendment applies to anyone and everyone. It doesn't just apply to citizens, okay? It doesn't. Not the First Amendment, all right? So that's free speech. Even your untruthful lies are protected speech, okay? So never mind the fact that the United States government spends a considerable amount of taxpayer dollars, I got a typo there, a considerable amount of taxpayer dollars on the production of political propaganda that is disseminated through outlets like VOAnews.com and the affiliated fake fact-checking website, polygraph.info, which I did not know existed till it kept showing up in the Google News feed. And I did my background research on them. And they're affiliate of VOA News, which stands for Voices of America, which is funded by the U.S. government. All right, so let me just play a few minutes of Jamal's commentary on this story.
Hello, everyone. It's Jamal Thomas. Welcome to the Progressive Soapbox. Hope everyone is doing okay today. And damn it, I forgot to send out a tweet that was going live. Either way, I hope people would find their way here. And I'm going to send out a tweet real quick. I'm sorry. I'll edit this part out. Yeah, guys. I hope everyone is doing okay today. Before we get too far into history, and just to put a pin in something else, Abby Martin is going to be on the show in June. I think it's June 2nd, but I'll be more specific the closer we get to the date. That's amazing in and of itself, so shout out to Abby Martin for deciding, saying yes. She said yes. Before we get too far in history, I want to put a pin in something, because I don't want this to be passed without people realizing the insanity that's currently taking place. Mueller does an investigation. Trump fires Comey. Democrats, oh my God! It proves that he's colluding with Russia. Why else would he fire the crooked attorney who said he was doing an investigation of his political opponent but wasn't actually doing an investigation of a political opponent? Why on earth would he fire a crony of the Clinton team? Or that act as if she was accused of a crony of the Clinton team? Why would he do that? Mueller gets pulled in. Mueller gets pulled in not because they have any real evidence on Donald Trump colluding with Russia. He gets pulled in for political reasons. But whatever. The theater is that Trump colluded with Russia and we need a special prosecutor to do it. Mueller goes on for like 2 years. You hear one little bit out of him in these press releases, but really nothing concrete. People like me have come out and said, this is nonsense. This is farce. You have nothing on this, and not just have nothing on this, you're politically motivated to do this, and the media is politically motivated or monetarily motivated to cover it. Not to mention their own political ideology is kind of wrapped around this thing that they hate Donald Trump. He continuously called them fake news. And you could see a clear bias against Trump. And I don't like Trump. And you can still see the clear bias in the media. If you turn on CNN right now, I would almost guarantee you that it's going to be something about Donald Trump. I can almost promise you. I've made the point that this is nonsense, that all of these people are motivated one way or another to push for this particular narrative, and they have nothing on this narrative. And something comes out. You hear a peep out of Mueller. Mueller says, we are going to indict 13 Russians. We found 13 Russians that we can put into this. We're going to indict 13 Russians. And all they hear about is how, yes, yes, I knew it. I knew it. Because in their minds, it was the Russians that prevented our country from having the luxury of Hillary Clinton as commander-in-chief and president of the United States. Bastards, those Russians. How dare they? And now we have this honorable man, this honorable gentleman that sold the country the Iraq war, Mueller, attesting to such. Now, the catch with this is, let's look into that. Now, I want to put a pin in this because this case has started to go to court. Now, what Mueller knew when he called this, or what he expected, is that this case would never go to court. I would get this headline. Yes, I would get this big splashy headline to affirm my existence that there's something here. But I also know that the people who I am saying that I'm going to throw these indictments on were not in the United States. And as such, those people would never show up to court. So I get the headline without ever actually having to go to trial. All of these people who've been screaming that Russia has something to do with it. Yes! She didn't lose on her own merits. I just knew. As they weep and as they say on the corner, I knew that Russia had something to do with it. I knew that there was no way for this woman to lose to reality show hosts. I knew it. And Mueller has just told me so. This case has gone to trial. The prosecutor in this case was entirely unprepared for the defense to say, hey, actually, we want to actually contest this trial. I understand that you believe that we were in Russia and that we were going to just turn a blind eye to this, but no, we would like to contest this trial, and not just contest this trial. We want to see the evidence that's being used against us, meaning we need you to open the books on the stuff that you have not been telling the public. We want to see it. If you're going to bring this to trial, it is our constitutional right to see what you have that you're using against us. What do you got? The prosecution says, we need to delay this trial. Now, imagine the ridiculousness of the prosecutor bringing the case and then the prosecutor himself saying, we have to delay this trial. Because the truth of the matter is they had no expectation that anybody was ever going to come to contest this case. They thought they can get the headline without ever necessarily needing to actually do the work. What will likely happen in this is that they would dismiss this case because they don't want to show what they have, meaning what they have is bupkis. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm going to let other lawyers explain this in a better way, but that's what it boils down to. This is The Hill. And I read this and I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. And so I started looking further into it and it gets insane. So this is Mueller team seeks delay in indictment case. What? What do you mean they seek a delay? They bought the case. How are you seeking a delay in the case that you bought? You bought this case. Prosecutors on special counsel Robert Mueller's team are asking a judge to delay the first count hearing in a criminal case against 13 Russian nationals and three Russian entities, according to the court documents filed Friday. In the filings, prosecutor asked to push back an initial appearance and arraignment in the case, set to take place next week, until the court decides whether or not one of the company's Concord management was properly served by the summons. Now, this is not the defense saying, well, wait a minute, we weren't properly served, so we need to push the case back. A delaying tactic that the defense might use for technicalities. This is the prosecution saying this. We don't know if we properly served them, so we want to push back the case. These are the indictments that all of these Democrats in Hillbox are saying have such credibility that he can't even bring the goddamn case. And like I said, the reality of it is Mueller never expected this case to come about. Don't take my word for it. Even The Hill comes upset. It's unlikely that the individuals charged in the case will ever appear in court. The companies were also largely expected to ignore the proceedings. But the motion revealed that lawyers for Concord Management made a series of discovery requests seeking records, including statements and electronic surveillance of the company executives and employees from Mueller's investigation. Do you get what's taking place? The companies are saying, no, we want to contest this. And not just contest this, we want to use our constitutional rights to figure out what the prosecution has. Meaning, you can't bring secret documents in court. What do you have on us? What do you have on us? What are the things that you're saying that you're using in order to bring up this case and bring these indictments? What do you got, Mueller? What do you got? You've been hiding this from everybody else. Everybody wants to know what you got. Well, we're in court. You can't hide it from us if you're going to try to indict us. What do you got? Show your hand. Prosecution response. Yeah, we need more time.
All right. I'm going to leave it there. And again, this goes along with the theme of propaganda and all the propaganda that we get from the U.S. news media, which the last story that I'm about to share with you, where you have a former State Department employee who then became the editor for Time Magazine. Y'all, you know, Time comes out with its Man of the Year or Person of the Year, and it's supposed to be this credible, respected mainstream media source. Well, the Council for Foreign Relations, and that is part of the shadow government that does exist, the real people who control the puppet strings of these politicians. Not all of them, but many of these politicians. Okay. They just had this event on fake news. Okay. Fake news. And this guy admits that he's for the use of government propaganda on the American people. All right. So let me pull the video up. This comes to you from the Jimmy Dore Show. I've also posted it on Black.
Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Black Talk Radio Network.com. You'll find it in the video section, or you might see it on the front page. But before I do that, let me take a quick station identification break. We'll play this quick excerpt. I really probably needed 3 hours to do the show, but we do have Melanated Roots coming on at 8 o'clock. But I will get to the main topic of Memorial Day or Decoration Day, war and propaganda. But all of this ties into the propaganda portion of it. So we're going to take a station identification break, and we'll come back, and we're going to hear from this former Time Magazine executive, also worked for the U.S. State Department, talking about it's okay for them to use to push propaganda to not just the American people, but to the entire world. You're listening to BTR News, a special broadcast on this Memorial Day. We'll be back on the other side of this quick message.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
So this is what I wrote for the description for the post on BTRN, I should say, Black Talk Radio Network. Former Time Magazine editor Richard Stengel at an event for the Council on Foreign Relations discussing fake news admits that he is for propaganda being disseminated to the American people and then refuses to answer a panel question. The relationship between the U.S. government and mainstream news outlets and pushing fake news to the American public and the rest of the world is not new and was exposed in the 1970s when Operation Mockingbird was revealed in Senate hearings. During the CFR event, again, that's one of the shadow governments, one of the organizations part of the U.S. shadow government, Council on Foreign Relations. During the CFR event, which is a deep state organization, part of the shadow government in the United States, Stengel even bragged about how State Department employees joked about him having the chief propagandist job when working at the U.S. State Department. Again, this excerpt I'm finna play is from the Jimmy Dore Show, another YouTube channel.
For the Jimmy Dore Show, I'm here. We have special guest with us. It's Sam Tripoli from the Tinfoil Hat Podcast. Hi,
Hello.
Sam. How are you?
Sam's
got a big show coming up in San Francisco. What's the date on that, Sam?
June 1st, Cobb's Comedy Club, and then June 2nd at the Sacramento Punchline.
That's a great place for it, Comedy Club. Because you're a comedian and you're funny.
Thank
That's
you.
What you should be.
You like me. You really like me.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to show this. William Craddock tweeted this out. And this is kind of amazing, this video I'm about to show you. And he says, at a Council on Foreign Relations forum. That's what we were just talking about off camera. Council on Foreign Relations forum about fake news. Former editor at Time Magazine, his name is Richard Stengel, he directly states that he supports the use of propaganda on American citizens, then shuts the session down when challenged about how propaganda is used against the third world. You ready? Watch this. This is now, keep in mind who this guy is. Former editor of Time Magazine. Listen to what he has to say.
So you'll be the last question, but I just want to weigh in on that for 1 second. So there's another word for master narratives. It's called history. Basically, every country creates their own narrative story. And you know, my old job at the State Department was what people used to joke as the chief propagandist job.
First of all, how awesome is it that the guy used to be at the State Department. Now, then he was the editor at Time Magazine. What the F? Let's just get Henry Kissinger to run New York Times. Are you kidding me? So, and did you hear what they used to call him?
You know, my old job at the State Department was what people used to joke as the chief propagandist job. We haven't talked about propaganda.
That's a hilarious joke.
That is so
really good.
People used to joke that my job was a chief propagandist because that's what I would do. We joke about things that are real.
Sometimes they call me minister. It was hysterical.
I'm the best liar.
Propaganda. I'm not against propaganda. Every country does it, and they have to do it to their own population. And I don't necessarily think it's that awful. And this idea of news cartel. I mean, I was editor of Time in 2012 during that election, and I remember, you know, you're competing against cartels and everybody. I remember being on a panel with the then editor of the New York Times, who said, it's really hard to break through these days. This is the editor of the New York Times saying it's hard to break through. I wanted to jump off the platform. Like, what's it like for the rest of everybody? So, I mean, there are cartels, but cartels don't have hegemony like they used to.
So what he's trying to do is trying to make you believe that there is an agreement. There is not agreement in the establishment on what the talking points are to be pushed, which is complete BS. Why is it that every news organization pushed the Iraq war when everybody knew that was a BS war? He's saying, oh, there's no central planning. We don't get together in a smoke-filled room and figure all this stuff out. I mean, it's come on. I mean, even people like the New York Times can't break through. There are six companies that own all our media. Six companies that own all our media. The guy who owns the Washington Post is in bed with the CIA and the Pentagon and owns our politicians and manipulates the tax laws and has all your data. That's the owner of the Washington Post. There's more other billionaires own the New York Times. And this guy...
Real quick, he's talking about Jeff Bezos, who is not only the owner of the Washington Post and who hired Hillary Clinton's former campaign chairman, John Podesta, as a news writer, as a so-called journalist, but he also owns Amazon, the company that is selling police facial recognition technology.
Is trying to pretend that everything's on the up and up in the news business. That's what he's saying right there, right? That's what that is? Okay. So watch, it gets worse.
The gentleman right there, last question.
I don't think you want to address an issue in terms of understanding what happened in the world.
So he just got done saying propaganda is he's pro pop propaganda.
Yes.
So there's a guy who's coming from a third world country. He's like, you don't understand how propaganda, the effects of U.S. propaganda on third world people. Here we go.
Because what is happening in America is what the United States flipped on the global south and in the third world, which we live with for many, many years, in terms of a master narrative that was and still is propaganda.
So that's a beautiful point. That's a beautiful point, what he's saying. Look at the U.S. propaganda, what it did to the global south and the third world. That's a beautiful point that guy makes. Now let's watch this former State Department guy handle it like the chief propagandist that he is. You ready? You ready? Former Time Magazine editor, after he just got done saying he endorses propaganda being done on people by our government. He just said that. We didn't miss that, right? We heard it. He just got done saying propaganda is good. Government should do it on their people. And he's saying, do you know the effects of U.S. propaganda has been on the third world? And here's how he handles it.
You know what? I hate last questions. Don't you? I usually just want to end something before the last question. But at any rate, I want to thank this fantastic panel here today. And I do want to say, I actually think, I mean, the talk about optimism, I mean, the optimism is all of you there.
You can hear people yelling, like, you're not going to talk, answer his question, you're not, and he's just ignoring it, completely ignoring it, and nobody on stage is going to hold him accountable.
The woman in the back is scratching her head going, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, right? Yeah. He's got a very Harvey Weinstein vibe right there, yeah. Doesn't he? Like, he's got those weird bags under his eyes that you get when you sell your soul.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to leave it there because this just kind of ties into what I wanted to discuss for the main topic, you know, observing Memorial Day or Decoration Day, and how really, you know, for most people, let me keep it real, most people it's just a day off. It's a chance to go visit your relatives that live in a different region that you may not be able to see. That's why Dave's not on air today, spending time with family, had to take him back to the airport and what have you. That's how most people, you know, which again, why are you saying happy Memorial Day? It's not supposed to be a happy day. It's supposed to be a somber remembrance of soldiers who have been killed in wars. And now, and the flip side of that is it's used by the United States government basically as a propaganda military recruitment tool, giving lip service, talking about, oh, they died for our freedom and all this and that. No, they didn't. And I will get into a list, and I won't be able to get through the entire list, but I did link to all the wars that the United States has engaged in starting in the 18th century. And as I was going through the list before the program, most of the wars, the vast majority of the wars were against Native people. Some of them, I'm talking about wars fought domestically, were even against American citizens, or victims of slavery were listed in there. Rebellions were listed in there. And what have you, tax protesters, people that were protesting tax. They called the U.S. military out on their own citizens and classified it as a war on their own people. That's the vast majority of the wars, okay? But again, we hear all these people or see these people on social media talking about, oh, these people died so we could have freedom and so we could have liberty, so we could live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And it's all just propaganda talking points, okay? That's all it is. It's propaganda talking points. And so here you just had this man telling you, and as Jimmy Dore was pointing out, you know, Time Magazine, along with all these other news outlets, sold you the lies to get us into the Iraqi war. They also sold you the lies during the Obama administration, because the Iraqi war, the last one, was during the Bush administration after 2001. They used propaganda to get you to think Saddam had something to do with it. And then during the Obama administration, all of these news outlets was telling you to lie, repeating State Department lies, Susan Rice at the UN, Hillary Clinton in the State Department, telling you lies that Gaddafi was killing his own people, when actually what he was doing was putting down a bunch of Islamic extremists and terrorists who were attacking Libyan people. And these terrorists were supported by who? The U.S. State Department. Why? Why would they do that? Well, beside the point that war is profitable, and if you don't have no war and you're not using the bombs and the bullets, then, you know, the war profiteers don't get to sell you more bombs and bullets. So they got to be used. So, but besides that, as on Tando Radio Show, we open up, you know, with the track from Sincere Nkwari, shout out to that brother, where he uses the clip from RT News where they're talking about the gold dinar that Gaddafi wanted to adopt as the African currency, a gold-based African currency, which would have made those African nations and Arab nations that participated in it would have put them on top of the economic ladder, because their currency would have been backed by gold and not by petrodollars. Another reason why we fight these wars, so that countries will keep using the U.S. dollar to trade in oil, which is one of the most traded commodities on the market. And Dave talks a lot about this, you know, type of stuff during Tando Radio Show. But here you got this guy just ignoring this brother, this African descendant brother. I don't know what country he's from. He sounded like he had a Caribbean accent. He could have been from an African country somehow. And he's saying, wait a minute. All of this propaganda has caused problems for people in these other countries. We earlier during the broadcast was talking about all the violence in South and Central America, in Mexico, and what have you. And what do they use? They use propaganda to get you to believe that the drug war is doing some good in the world, and, you know, not really reporting how these people are losing their lives, getting shot down by these drug cartels or the police, all because of U.S. foreign policy. Well, again, Council of Foreign Relations, what do you think they focus on? Foreign policy, right? Part of that shadow government. So here you got this brother saying, wait a minute, this ain't right. It's not, propaganda's not good. Look at the negative impact it's had on countries like mine. And what does this piece of trash do? He ignores the question. All right? He just flat out ignores the question. All right. So that's all the news stories that I have for you today. I just don't go quickly through them. I'm sorry, because I have thoughts and I need to give context and what have you. But, you know, I don't need a whole lot of time to talk about Memorial Day and how it is really just another tool of propaganda for the United States. Now, every Memorial Day, and I've been doing this for a number of years, I share memes on Memorial Day. And I do it from a black perspective, okay? Because you've had plenty of black U.S. service members, Afro-descendant people, African-Americans, whatever term or label that you want to use, who are not given their due in just wars that have occurred, mainly the American Revolutionary War. So here is a meme that you'll find that I posted to our Twitter account as well as our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio Network, and I also shared it for today's program in the program promo, and it'll be there for those that check out the podcast later. Just come to blacktalkradionetwork.com. It's under the podcast for BTR News with Scotty Reed. This is a meme that I share today because, you know, I do want to remember those who have sacrificed and have lost their lives for freedom, liberty, and justice. So the meme I share today, the picture is of black men in revolutionary apparel or garb or what, uniforms, okay? With rifles. It's like you see these war reenactments and what have you. So that's where the picture comes from. But this is what I wrote. The Continental Army, that was the name of the army of the colonists, which was headed by George Washington. The Continental Army lost the first six of the nine major battles of the American Revolutionary War against Britain, largely due to George Washington's racist ban against black men serving and the British use of black soldiers. It was only after Washington lifted his racist ban and those men joined the war were the colonists able to win the last three battles and win the war, giving America its independence. How did the new nation repay this debt? with continued slavery and racism. That's how they repaid that debt. And see, this is not something that you're going to learn in social studies or your civics classes. They may teach it in college. I didn't take a history course in college, but history was one of my favorite subjects in high school, and they certainly didn't teach this history to me. Okay, and you can Google it, use the internet, whatever your favorite search engine is. The information is out there. But there were 9 major battles of the American Revolutionary War, and this so-called great general, George Washington, a racist, pedophile slaver, banned black people because you had free black people. All black people were not enslaved during that time, although victims of slavery were granted manumission if they joined the war on behalf of their cowardly enslaver. See, they could send one of their victims in their place to serve in the Continental Army. All right. So this is largely left out. These men aren't mentioned whenever they talk about, you know, Memorial Day, or they talk about, like Donald Trump was saying, how our ancestors tamed a continent. Now, I am not proud of our participation as a people. I understand it, and I've done programs on it before. I am not proud of the Buffalo Soldiers, who I first learned about when I was stationed at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, where they were responsible for hunting down Apaches and what have you. I'm not proud of that. That's nothing to be proud of. These were former victims of slavery, most of them, who stayed in the army, and then they were used to attack Native people in their lands. So you want to know who really won the West? Y'all know General, what was his name? Custer. I don't think he was a general. I think he was just a colonel. You know, Custer got his head scalped and what have you. They don't talk about how the Buffalo Soldier won the West. And Buffalo Soldier was a name given to them by the Native American tribes that they were fighting, meant as a soldier's compliment or a warrior's compliment. And not just because they have woolly hair like the buffalo, but because the buffalo was a tough animal, a tough fighter, and what have you. But getting back to the American Revolutionary War, a lot of people don't even realize that the revolution was started. They may know about the Boston Massacre, and that is cited as the inspiration or the start of the American Revolution. But what they don't know is that a black man, a Afro-Indian of African and Native American descent by the name of Crispus Attucks, was the one who started it when he confronted British soldiers for their brutality against a teenager who was a colonist. And he and some other men, Crispus Attucks, they're not sure if he was a former escaped victim of slavery or if he was just a seaman, meaning that, you know, he worked on ships and what have you. But he was in Boston during the time they beat up, brutalized this American colonist boy, and he got angry about it, and he got some other colonists to go with him to confront the British soldiers who had committed that act of quote-unquote police brutality. It's the same thing. That's what the British soldiers were doing, not only just protecting the colonists from the aboriginal tribes, but also policing the colonies. And after this act of police brutality against a teenager American colonist, Crispus Attucks, a black man, led some other colonists to confront them, and they were shot dead. And during the American Revolutionary War, this is what they say inspired them against the British, to stand up to the brutality of the British. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and all of them. See, the American Revolution was a grassroots movement. It was then hijacked by rich, wealthy, racist slavers like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, who gave you the false narrative about it being about taxation without representation. Okay, that's not what it was about. They were greedy. They didn't want to pay taxes to the king, who was providing these British troops, who was helping protect you from the just anger of the Aboriginal tribes, who would, some of them would attack the colonists. Okay, and so they didn't want to pay for that, and so they cooked up this thing about some taxation without representation, and they wanted to keep more of their profits from slavery. All right, so that's what you're taught in high school. That's not the truth of the matter. So I always remember Crispus Attucks, and I remember these Afro-descendant revolutionary soldiers who are responsible, who are, I would say they were, it's without a doubt, if you lose six battles and you don't win the last three, which decide the war until you allow black men to fight in it, then to me, those black men are responsible for the United States of America even existing. But they don't give these men their proper due. And this is why when I'm in conversations or dialogue with other black people and they talk about, why don't we leave? And look, we didn't fought. We didn't pay too much blood, not to mention laid the infrastructure for this land, to just up and leave it and let our ancestors' deaths be in vain. No, these people did not do this by themselves. Rightly or wrongly, depending upon what we're talking about, rightly or wrongly, they couldn't have done it without these men. They couldn't have done it. The history is clear on that. Not the fake news that your history teacher gives you in high school through the public education system, but the real history. Okay? Then I also like to remember the American Civil War veterans, especially the black ones, not forgetting the white abolitionists who also gave their lives, like some of John Brown's sons who joined the Union Army with the express intent to end slavery. And again, you know, as we tell you on New Abolitionist Radio, slavery was never abolished. Lincoln was a racist. He was a Confederate or a slaver sympathizer. He sympathized with them white men, okay? And he was just playing a political game in order to obtain office. Yeah, he gave some great abolitionist speeches, but I'm talking about what speaks louder than words, your actions. And the 13th Amendment was a concession to the Confederate States of America. But make no mistake, as I share today in this meme, as I do every year, this is what I wrote, sharing a picture of some black Union troops. Like Washington before him, President Lincoln also had a racist ban against the use of black men as soldiers. The Union Army was not able to defeat the Confederacy until after these men entered the war. How did the nation repay this debt? With continued racism and a new form of slavery legislated in the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So, don't let anybody tell you that lie and you believe it, or you don't confront them with the truth. Lincoln didn't free nobody. All right. The victims of slavery freed themselves along with free black people, over a bunch of free black men and women. Shout out to Harriet Tubman, because she was a Union spy and actually led some black Union troops into battle to liberate a few plantations. So nobody freed us. We freed ourselves. And not only did we free ourselves or free our enslaved brothers and sisters, we also saved the Union. Again, the history is clear. If you was getting your butt kicked by the Confederate States of America when you would not allow black men and women, shout out to Harriet Tubman, to serve in the Union forces. And it was only after you allowed them to join the war did you then start winning and eventually won and defeating the CSA. They are responsible for, again, saving the USA. The black soldier was instrumental in the creation of the USA and instrumental in maintaining the USA. Or else we'd be chanting today, CSA, 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 instead of USA, USA, USA. But do you think these racist suspects know this history? No, they don't. Or they like to ignore this history. And again, going back to what Donald Trump said, talking about our ancestors. Donald Trump's ancestors didn't come over here, I believe, until the 50s or the 60s. I can't remember. His mother is from Ireland. His father's an immigrant. So your ancestors, Donald Trump, ain't did squat. You fresh off the boat, basically. You was over there being tamed. Your ancestors was over there in Ireland being tamed by the British, which they're still being tamed by the British to this day. They're not, Ireland isn't independent. So it's important to know this history, because these are important moments of American history, not just black history. I'm going to take a short break, station identification break. Again, if you have any comments you would like to share, agreement isn't necessary. If you disagree with any points that I'm making, if you're in dispute of the facts, by all means, call in and we'll have a dialogue about it, you know. But I'm pretty thorough in my research, so I doubt if you can bring anything to our attention that would be in dispute of these facts, okay? Now, also, in the interest of facts, I saw the Root, and I used to believe this until I did research. I saw the Root the other day, as they do every year, sent out an article talking about black American people created Memorial Day. That's not true. There's always been a form of Memorial Day going back before the American Civil War. But it is a fact that we, as a people, begin to celebrate it in mass after the Civil War, as I shared that history in my description, in the interest of real news, not fake news. Recently freed and freed victims of slavery, or I should say free black people who were never enslaved but fought in the Union Army or had family members but were in support of the Union. It was on May the 1st, 1865, in Charleston, South Carolina, 10,000 people gathered to honor 257 dead Union soldiers, black soldiers, whose remains had been dumped in a mass grave in a Confederate prison camp, likely murdered. Okay, the history's clear on that, too. All right. And so that is when you started seeing a lot of black people acknowledging Memorial Day, honoring our own dead who freed us. Lincoln didn't free not a single person. He wasn't on nobody's battlefield. He wasn't carrying no weapons and he didn't shoot anybody. He wasn't no soldier. And if it had been, and if not for the arguments of Martin Delaney, the father of black nationalism, who was a major recruiter of black troops during the Civil War, and Frederick Douglass putting pressure on Lincoln, again, the USA would have ceased to exist and we'd be living in the CSA today, likely. All right, let's take this break. And then when I come back, I'll check out the phone lines for any comments, and questions. But again, let's take a look at a list of the wars that U.S. military service members have been killed in. And I think if you look at this list, you'll find that vast majority of it had nothing to do with liberty or freedom as the Civil War did for black people. Had nothing to do. It had to do with robbing, stealing, killing Native people and spreading American imperialism. You're listening to BTR News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting to you from behind these enemy lines. We'll be right back after this message.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Now the Wu-Tanga. All right, welcome back to BTR News, this special edition on this Memorial Day or Decoration Day. Now, I just want to go through a list of wars, and it's a very extensive list going on. This particular entry in Wikipedia, and I know some people rightly are skeptical of Wikipedia, but, you know, everything ain't propaganda, and some stuff is true, but you should always check your sources. No matter what the source is, check their sources and what have you. All right, so they start with the 18th century and go all the way up to the 21st century wars. And when you hear these people saying, oh, they died for our liberty and freedom, no, that's not always the case. It depends on which war you're talking about. So I already gave you my thoughts on the American Revolutionary War, not just my thoughts, but the facts of the American Revolutionary War, which created the United States. But from then, the next war, you had the Cherokee American Wars from 1776 to 1795. It is described as part of the American Indian Wars. Y'all might remember Daniel Boone and all of that. Daniel Boone's daughter had been captured or abducted by the Cherokee and what have you. Of course, we know that resulted in the United States putting these people on reservations and what have you. Now, I do have an ancestor who was a Cherokee. It was a woman, all right? Even though I'm black, make no mistake, I'm an Afro-descended person, but as like most Afro-Americans, we have a very diverse genetic background, largely due to slavery, even though the Scottish people and Cherokees that's in my background had nothing to do with slavery. But I really don't have sympathy for the Cherokee, because guess what? They was practicing slavery too. So I don't have too much sympathy for them, but I'm just here to share these different wars. All right. 1785 to 1793, Northwest Indian War. This was a war where you had the Chickasaw and Choctaw align themselves with the United States, and during that, they fought against a Western Confederacy that was made up of Great Britain and the British North America, talking about parts of Canada. All right. The result, the Treaty of Greenville in 1795, British withdrawal, and American occupation of the Northwest Territory. Shays Rebellion, 1786 to 1787, occurred in Massachusetts. This was the United States military against U.S. citizens who were protesting against the government because they had issues with the Articles of Confederation. And this is what caused a U.S. Constitutional Convention. 1786 to 1787, that's Shays Rebellion. 1791 to 1794, the Whiskey Rebellion, which was located in western Pennsylvania. All right, George Washington played a role in that in putting down frontier tax protesters. This was the United States again fighting a domestic war against its very own citizens who were protesting taxes. And it was an armed resistance, and they were calling it a minor tax evasion. Now, just think about the irony there. You got one of the main tax evaders in George Washington who did not want to pay taxes for the British troops that was protecting his little kingdom that he erected in Virginia on the backs of victims of slavery. He didn't want to pay the British king taxes for all of that protection. So, you know, he talking about some taxation without representation. And then later on, he wages war against U.S. tax protesters. It's called the Whiskey Rebellion. 1798 to 1800, the Quasi War. It was part of the French Revolutionary Wars. The location was on the Atlantic Ocean, the Caribbean, the Indian Ocean, and the Mediterranean. The United States and Great Britain aligned themselves against France and Guadeloupe. It brought about, again, the United States won, a peaceful cessation of the Franco-American alliance and a French privateer attacks on American shipping and American neutrality and renunciation of claims by France. I wonder, I may be mistaken, but I wonder if the Louisiana Purchase came about as a result of that war. It doesn't say. Going to the 19th century, let me check the phone lines again. We got about maybe 10 more minutes. Again, this is a long, exhaustive list of wars the United States have engaged in. And the vast majority of them were not for any kind of liberty, freedom, and justice for all, as people are fond of saying today, you know, as they are every Memorial Day. No, a lot of these people gave their lives in support of tyranny, or in support of government taxes, or in support of American imperialism, or in support of genocide against the Aboriginal people of this continent. Right? Let's just quit playing the games. The truth is what it is. Okay? It's what it is. And today, Memorial Day, isn't really a somber remembrance of people like those during the American Civil War fighting for the Union. I'm talking about specifically the abolitionists who are truly fighting for freedom and liberty. And I'll go along with the grassroots people who ignited the American Civil War because of British soldier brutality against colonists. Okay? No. The vast majority of these people were not losing their lives in just wars. It's just simply not the case. That's not the facts. I'm going to go quickly through some of these. The First Barbary War, 1801 to 1805, that was the United States and Sweden fighting against the islet of Tripolitania, probably Libya at the time, Sultanate of Morocco, the Moors, fighting against the Moors, peace treaty. I may be mistaken about that, though, about those being the Moors that control the Iberian Peninsula. I'm just not up on that history like that. But it was a country called Morocco. At that time, Sultanate of Morocco and the United States fought a war against them. 1811 German Coast Uprising. This occurred in the territory of Orleans. Louisiana had not yet become a state, I imagine, in 1811. It was the United States fighting against, and this is news to me, I did not know this history, victims of slavery rebelling that were supported by Haiti. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Haiti actually aligned itself with victims of slavery in in the territory we call Louisiana. I did not know that. I did not know that. Okay. And what happened? Of course, the United States won and put a lot of these freedom fighters to death. Tecumseh's War, that was in 1811 as well. It was part of the American Indian Wars and the War 1812. It was the United States against Tecumseh's Confederacy. It ended in a peace treaty. I'm not really up on Tecumseh's War, although I've heard of it. It does have a link for those that want to read more up on it. War of 1812. This is where we get the so-called national anthem written by Francis Scott Keyes, the vicious white slaver who was mocking people. I think this is it, right? I could be incorrect. War 1812, y'all, you know, I'm not above being corrected. But it was fought in the Eastern and Central North America. An excerpt, it says, General Andrew Jackson stands on a parapet of his makeshift defenses as his troops repulse attacking Highlanders by painter Edward Percy Moran in 1910. Who was the United States fighting? The United States was fighting against, War 1812. Yeah, this is when former victims of slavery who aligned themselves with the British set fire to the White House. I remember that. I remember reading about it. Combatants, United States, who had their allies among the Choctaw, Cherokee Nation, and their Creek allies. They were fighting against the United Kingdom and British North America, Tecumseh's Confederacy, and Spain also assisted. That's why you have black people who live in Canada right now. You know, a lot of people don't know Canada still observes the Queen of England as their monarchy. It's like a colony. They have some semi-independence, but Canada's still a colony of the United Kingdom or the UK. And so that those victims of slavery who joined the British on promises of freedom, the royal crown did keep its promise to them and gave them their freedom and resettled them in what was known then as British North America. All right. It goes on more, the Creek War, where they then fought. You had the United States, the Lower Creeks, the Cherokee Nation, and the Choctaw fighting against the Red Street Stick Creek. You know, Cherokees, Lower Creeks, and Choctaw, we'll call them proxy races, allied itself with the U.S. government against the Red Stick Creek, who didn't want the United States intruding upon their lands and their freedom. And it resulted in them losing and being forced to cede 23 million acres of their territory to the United States in a treaty of Fort Jackson. Fort Jackson's where I did my basic training, which is in South Carolina. So what happened to some of that 23 million acres? Well, as Martin Luther King Jr. told you, they gave it to a bunch of immigrants from Europe, just gave the land to them. Still hadn't paid. Well, of course, the U.S. American Civil War hadn't happened yet. But, you know, gave it to all of these peasants from immigrants from Europe. Okay, that's where all that land went to. All right, so all these people talking about they pull themselves up by their bootstraps, or our ancestors, you know, earned this or earned that. No, 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 you're a bunch of welfare recipients. The Second Barbary War was fought in 1815. I mean, it's just constant warfare in America's history. Then you wonder why it's so, you know, we see so much violence today. Engaged in illegal wars right now in Syria, illegal war against Libya, all kind of actions, military actions in Africa. Just constant violence, a history, a nation with a very bloody history. And it wasn't cause they was trying to spread democracy or liberty and justice for all. This is just the sad truth about it. You got the first Seminole Wars, okay? The first Seminole War, the Texas Indian Wars, the Arikara War, the Aegean Sea anti-piracy operations of the United States, the Winnebago War, the first Sumatran expedition, the Black Hawk War, the second Seminole War, second Sumatra expedition, again, all imperialism, Ivory Coast expedition, the Mexican-American War, how they stole California and what have you, the Cayuse War, 1847-1855, the Apache War, where, again, I'm not proud of this history, but the Buffalo soldiers were very instrumental in winning the West, all right, which moved the Apache Indians to reservations. Man, I could just go on and on and on. We ain't even got to the American Civil War yet, okay? Just on and on and on and on and on. What's their last entry? Let me jump to the very last entry that they got in here. American intervention in Libya, 2015 to present. Okay? And I talked earlier about the propaganda you was told to get you to support. Had one of Dr. King's daughters, should be ashamed of herself, on the anniversary of the March on Washington, out there on steps of that liar Lincoln's monument, talking about let freedom ring in Libya, with Obama sitting off to the side. And what's happening in Libya today? You got open slave markets run by these Islamic extremists, destroyed the most prosperous developed nation in Africa. So that's the last. Well, I think they need to add Syria in here. They don't got Syria. They got the Yemeni civil war because I'm surprised they've even. Yeah, they got Syria in here, starting in 2014 to present, still ongoing. I'm surprised that they you know included these. Anyway, I think you get my point. So on this Memorial Day, I, as a black person, as a Afro-descendant person, an African-American, black American, doesn't matter, I use the terms interchangeably. On this day, I remember the Afro-American revolutionary soldiers who without the United States would not even exist. And I remember the abolitionist, black or white, soldiers who fought in the Union Army to put the Confederate rebellion down, defeated the Confederacy, and to bring an end to slavery, but unfortunately, they were betrayed by their commander-in-chief, who put an exception clause in the 13th Amendment to allow the Confederacy and every other state in the Union to practice a new form of slavery through the prisons. That's been my broadcast for today. Sitting in for Brother Dave. We got Melanated Roots coming up at the top of the hour. And so stay tuned for that. But with that said, I'm going to end this broadcast. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to share some of this time with me and talk and learn about this history. I want to thank Ross you know, for the information that he shared, as well as Otis for what he shared in the chat room. So propaganda. We're getting hit, bombarded with propaganda from all directions. Don't trust anything. Not just on mainstream media, but on Facebook or any of these so-called independent alternative websites that supposed to be independent news journalists and what have you. Don't take nobody's word for anything. Do your research. Do your own research, and then base your conclusions on facts, not fallacies. With that said, recognize the fact that we live behind the enemy lines of the United States of America Incorporated, where they are still practicing slavery. It was never abolished. That's fake news. The 13th Amendment makes that clear. And there is a new abolitionist movement to end it that is very much alive. And I think you should join it. Peace and blessings to all. Be safe out there.